Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back for the first time in a long time. We are back, back-to-back shows in 1 week because we can't help ourselves. We have a lot to talk about. Welcome to another crazy edition, crazy sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your quarterback of the year, the king of king himself. I am the hot rod. And my tight end, he loves to or the receiver, which position you want to play, is the one, the only.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't it Sean Black? Yes. Is he in the building once again? Yes, he is. Thank you very much.
Are you still a pain in my ass? Ding, 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 ding. Yes. What?
Well.
And also on the phone. Well, is there anyone out there listening to our show at this last minute? The telephone number to call is 347-989-8402, and also have Phil the Fishman Fisher on the air with us as well.
Thank you.
What's going on, Phil?
Same old crap, but a different day.
Sean, don't start, because you know Phil goes to start talking about the Mets, goes to talk about the Rangers, and talk about all the teams that we want to talk about that we don't care. So don't get
started.
No, this
is a sports show. You realize that, right?
Yes.
Hot Rod?
It is, but
I want to talk about the Mets.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about the Mets. You know he will go. But you know he will go 5 hours talking about the Mets. I don't want to talk about that.
All right, Hot Rod.
That'll be another day.
All right, Hot Rod. Stop you whining and complaining. What's the first topic you want to talk about?
Okay.
Put him in his place, Phil.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Thank you, Phil.
Remember, Sean, I'm a white guy, so I gotta watch how I say things.
That's right.
Hey, Rodney, you the one that's...
Are you guys done? Are you guys done?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
You guys done kissing each other? You guys finished kissing each other? Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, God.
But let's talk about with the so-called biggest announcement that made earlier today by WWE CEO and owner, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. After 17 years, back in 2001, he decided to rebrand and bring back the XFL. Wow. We were not surprised by this one. It was broke the news out earlier that he wants to bring this back. Well, Phil, let's start with you. Why do you think he brought this back? And we give this a second chance of the XFL. For people that don't remember, it was a bad project that started years ago. He wanted to replace or go on competition with the NFL, but it did not work out at all. But go ahead, Phil.
My question is, why? If it didn't work out the first time, what makes him think it's going to work out the second time? Granted, it's not going to be like the first one. I mean, I can understand wanting to go in a competition with yourself, but you got me on it because I can't even figure out why he wants to do that. I mean, the man's a billionaire, for crying out loud. And you probably got the biggest wrestling conglomerate in the world today. I can't figure out the mind of Vince McMahon. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I can't see it working out. I mean, the NFL, granted, with all the crap it's still going through, people want to watch the NFL more than they're going to watch an XFL game.
Well, true, but he's taking different steps this time compared to 17 years ago. Before I go to you, Sean, Phil, same because, like you said, NFL is having bad ratings, going through a lot of drama right now. We talk about it many times. Do you think Vince McMahon is trying to take advantage of that moment right now, even though it's like 2 years from now that NFL supposed to start in 2020?
I actually see your point. He probably is doing what you just said, but like I said, I just can't see it working out. I mean, the first one, did it, even if he rebrands it and redoes it, I still can't see it.
Yeah, but
McMahon
said, like, we're going to listen to the coaches, we're going to listen to the players, but especially we're going to listen to the fans. What the fans want. He wants to bring football back because, you know, all the drama is coming on. I'm like, yes, the first time when he did it, he treated it like WWE, like wrestling type, with the scripts and the storyline, which it did not work out at all. So McMahon did not understand the business. He think he knew it all, but he did not understand it at all.
Yeah, of course.
The business. But, Sean, I know you have a lot to say because you – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, like I said, I mean, it could work, but, you know, it's like you said, he's got to listen to the coaches, he's got to listen to the fans. I mean, it can't be like the WWE at all. I mean, I'm all for bringing back the old NFL that we used to watch, not what we're watching now, but he's got to do it the right way.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It was destined not to work, and history has shown it unkind to any other football league that has run against the NFL, and I'm not even talking about the XFL. I'm talking about the World League of American Football, which was back in the early 90s. Even going back to the WFL in the 70s, the World Football League. The UFL that was a minor league football, kind of professional football, that was run maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that was done in the spring. What Vince McMahon is trying to do is he's trying to corner the market on entertainment in general. He cashed out a lot of his stock in his own company to fund, I think it's called Alpha Entertainment Limited or whatever the name of the company is. That's the parent company of this XFL venture. 2020 is the year that it's supposed to be running, and is not going to be good. Now, we talk about all of the problems that the National Football League is going through as far as the player protests and the ratings dropping and domestic violence and all of these other things. Vince McMahon wants to actually include clauses and et cetera where if you've had a DUI, if you've had any kind of legal issues, you won't be able to play in his league. That's one thing that's going to be very, very hard to do considering we're talking about athletes.
I was about to say.
Yes, we're talking about athletes that are going to try and do whatever they can to win, to get that winning edge. We can cut that to the side. The other thing that a lot of people kind of don't realize as far as the XFL is, most people that looked at the XFL actually expected the WWE to go and do the storyline stuff that you were talking about, where if you remember, Jesse Ventura was one of the broadcasters, and he had this ongoing quote-unquote feud with one of the coaches, and it was a back-and-forth thing for a couple of weeks, which we all know was contrived. Nobody cared about it because then the ratings started really high. I think they got a 10 rating in its first game, and each week it precipitously dropped because the quality of football was crap. This is what you have to deal with the XFL. Where are they going to get these athletes from? The same pool that the NFL gets, where they have years and years and years of scouting, and they know they have their connections within the league, or are you going to go to people coming off the street and then making up these rules as it goes along? That's where McMahon is going to have to find his niche with this entire thing. I think it's doomed to fail, but when you're sitting on $1 billion and you're bored, you can do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I agree with both of you guys, but I will be a little bit optimistic. Me, very rare. I will give this a little bit of a shot because he's doing it differently now, and he's quote-unquote listening to the fans. And plus, now that he's looking for a major TV network, most of these games will be streamed. That will determine the success or failure of it. So you don't need to spend a lot of money on advertisement or anything like that. He already owns the WWE network. So he can broadcast the games on his own network. So, yes, like you said, Sean, he uses most of his money. He invests his own money, so he don't have a lot of investors. So to be optimistic, and he's starting it small and work on his way, see how it goes along the way. Start with eight teams, 2 months, I believe, plus final, plus playoffs, and he's trying to make the game 2 hours, which is like, wow, 2 hours, football? But, Sean, as a football fanatic that you are, do you think there will be, do you think there's enough football for us to watch? Like, do we need more football after the Super Bowl?
We do not need any more extra football, because for football, diehard football fans, if you are looking at college football, which is a staple that I've been into for the longest, and the National Football League, I even watch the CFL, which a lot of people don't know. You look at Canadian football? Yes.
What?
I look at the CFL.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
In general, as far as the nation goes, sports watching public that needs to consume, they do not need another football product, especially one that they will probably determine as inferior. Now, if McMahon is going to go and leverage this on his WWE network, which you have to pay a certain amount of money for per month to stream, if that's going to be the case, then he'll know his audience. If he wants to grow his product, it's going to have to happen outside of his network. But starting slowly, that's where it's going to be. Getting sponsors, getting partnerships with other officials and other teams and free agency, setting up, you know, health insurance for the players, pay structure, payment plans for the playoffs, for whatever the championship game is going to become. All of these things that have to be set up, which is why it's supposed to happen in 2020. I don't know if it's going to work, because this is a big, big ask. But if you're looking at Vince McMahon, he's one of those type of people that he looks at failure as another reason to continue doing something. So if the first shot failed, he's going to try it again. I personally don't think the fans asked for the XFL. I don't think they asked for the XFL. If you said that he's going to listen to the fans, if he listened to the fans, he wouldn't be doing the XFL again.
Well, that part I agree. But once again, say McMahon do what the hell he wants. He's a billionaire.
Yes.
He's bored. He just finds other ways to entertain himself. But I won't go on to the next topic. This is like a little bit of a disgusting topic about a doctor, Larry Nassar, who got sentenced yesterday for sexual abuse among females. Oh, basically he's a child molester. Yeah, Sean, how many years did he got yesterday?
He's on top of the 60 years that he got for porn charges that he has on him. He was sentenced to between 40 minimum and 175 years on 3 charges of molesting females in his employ while he was a doctor at Michigan State University. All of the molestation cases that were tried, that are being adjudicated, are all stemming from over the last 20 or so years of him being at Michigan State University, molesting and allegedly raping people that he was supposed to be taking care of as a doctor. So there's a lot to unpack as far as that news goes, but I want you to think about that. A doctor who is supposed to look after athletes, young teenage female athletes, and this person used his job as a guise to get his sexual kinks off and molest. And now we know what's happening. He's also got a sentencing hearing coming up next week where he could get extra years and extra charges brought against him. And put it like this. He could die.
He's going to die in prison.
He could live to 100 years old, die, be reborn, and live another 100 years, and still would be in jail.
Yeah, well, okay. It's safe to say that he's not going away no time soon. That's the bottom line.
No.
Oh, not at all. But I just want to bring up one of the victims, the first victim of Nassar, the first one to speak at the trial, Kyle Stevens, said that Nassar repeatedly abused her from the age of 6 until 12 years during a family visit to the home. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. From age 6 to 12 years old.
Disgusting.
And it makes you think like, wow. And like Sean said, 20 years, this doctor have been abusing his power or molesting children for all these years. And everyone has the same question. Why? Why is this happening? Why has it went for so long? Why no one did anything or say anything about it? Why, you think, Phil?
Maybe because they were scared. Maybe he threatened them with something. I mean, you can get a whole bunch of reasons why nobody came out with it, but it's unfortunate. And like I said, it's disgusting what a doctor can do. I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, especially a 6-year-old. I mean, my brother and I, we have friends that have children, and they're innocent. And what this guy has done is just beyond reproachable. And
you just said the key word right there. You just say the key word right there, Phil. Innocent. Did people like that prey on the innocent? Because, you know, many times on the show, Sean and I, we all discuss, you know, about other abuses from other females, older females, that, you know, why didn't they say anything? Why didn't they say anything? There are adult females that should have known better to talk about it. I mean, yes, this is the Me Too moment now, but children, what do they know about this? And someone's touching them inappropriate or not. They might not know the difference to when they get older. So, of course, so he preyed on the young for all these years. Go ahead, Sean.
I want you to think also something to think about for those that don't really realize this. At the sentencing hearing, 156 different females spoke their truth about what this person did to them. 156. And from what I've read, there were at least a potential over 300 people that had something happen to them because of this doctor. So much so that the president of Michigan State University, who for the most part oversaw a lot of this, had to resign. She resigned today over how this was mishandled, how all of this stuff happened going back as early as 1997. A lot of us of our age group, we were still in college at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So this goes to show you how long ago that this I can't call him anything more than a monster, was able to prey on the innocent, as you stated, Hot Rod. The first two people that is from what was said, because I remember there was an interview with some of the victims on television either earlier today, I think it might have been earlier this morning, where there was a 14-year-old accuser and a 16-year-old accuser. The 16-year-old accuser's name is Larissa Boyce. She stated, they stated that this could have stopped back then, but the university and all of the places that actually had checks and balances in place did nothing. These are the kinds of things that are in place. There are certain checks and balances that are supposed to protect people on the employee underneath doctors that have these kinds of privileges to be able to see females, et cetera, have nurses in the room, have somebody else to do certain things. This did not happen. Because this was able to repeatedly happen over years and years. And as you stated, 6 years old is mind-numbingly sickening to the degree that these things happen. And we heard Allie Raceman and Michaela Maroney and Gabby Douglas and Jordan Weber, Simone Biles, all of the famous gymnasts that we have celebrated in the Olympics and have shown great care into their craft. The majority of them that I have named, all of the ones that I've named and others that I have not, were all molested at some point by Dr. Nassar. And that is the reason why he is going to rot underneath a jail for the rest of his natural born life.
But, LaShawn, I know this is going to piss off a lot of people, but that's my job to piss people off and tell them the absolute truth. To a certain degree, I defend this monster a little bit. Why, Rod, do you defend a monster like that? Okay. Apparently, of course, some people would say they have mental illness, he was sick, blah, blah, blah. But overall, who allowed this to happen for all these years? Do you blame the predator? or the people that cover up for all these years, like the president of Michigan or the staff. You telling me that out throughout the whole 20 years, no one knew about this? I'm sure there have been, you read it in the file, Sean. People, there have been girls that have stepped up and complained, but nothing was done because of check and balances. So, do you blame, yes, you can blame everybody, but if you have to pick someone, in my opinion, who's really to blame? The people who allow this to happen. Just like the Penn State situation with Jerry Stan Gusty and the boys in the shower. Everybody knew about it. Why are you going to keep their mouth shut until they start blowing up? They start pointing fingers. And who did they point fingers at? Joe Paterno, right? And what happened to him?
Yeah.
He died from a broken heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying, I'm not defending what he did.
Yeah.
I'm not defending what he did. Do not anyone take that for action. But once again, who do you have to blame overall? The father? The parents? That took care, you blame the doctor or the administration? So, in other words, I believe everyone in Michigan State, the athletic clubs, everybody should be gone, not just the president, and start from scratch. They need to erase that program. Go ahead.
This whole system, the entire system that's supposed to check, have checks and balances, are completely complicit in this from this sense. Like you just stated, Hot Rod, you made a really good point. If the system is there as to check and make sure that these doctors, and whoever it is, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a gynecologist, or anybody else that's on the employ of this, and the NCAA is supposed to be the governing body over this. The NCAA's job is not to necessarily police what's going on. It's to let the authorities handle what they're supposed to handle. But that can't be done if there is some sort of complicity involved between the administration or the president or whoever is in charge, and if there is a doctor or somebody on their employ and there is nothing happening in between. There's a disconnect between what's happening with the person that is accused of doing what they've done and the victims. Now, we know that the victims, being young children, are going to be probably traumatized and scared to even be able to say anything, especially in the world we live in now. This is today. We're talking 20, 30, almost 30, 25 years ago in 1997.
Well, someone just asked me, Sean, how can you compare this to the Cosby situation? Is this a comparison or this is a completely different story?
I would say that it is probably it's along the same, because it's the same kind of thing that happens where you have something happening within. The doctor is supposed to be an authority figure, just like a police officer is supposed to be an authority figure. If something happens with an authority figure, with someone who is, you're either supposed to protect or help along, like a teacher, because we've heard things like this with teachers molesting students. We've heard things about doctors and et cetera. When these things happen, there has to be some kind of checks and balances there to make sure that this does not happen. There have to be proper channels taken place to make sure that these kinds of things, if God forbid they happen, it is a minuscule, minute thing, and it doesn't happen again. One time is already too much.
Sure. So, to Phil, do you think they need to scrap up the program as start from scratch again, or trying to fix the system?
Well, what I think, everybody that knew about this, covered it up, needs to be axed and put into jail.
Sure, but
and
exactly,
I just had a jackass pass gas in my room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother's being an idiot again.
Okay, but besides that, but it's very hard if you've got 20 years. Most people are either dead or gone. It's like, how can you find the people who really knew about this? You think the doctor will spill names? I doubt that. You know,
well, the doctor
is very hard.
He
has nothing to lose, but I doubt he was told. People might tell a few. Like, we don't know exactly who knew about the situation besides the administration. But within the administration, Everybody probably knew about this. We don't know. Throughout the whole 20-year span, it could be half the school that knows about this. But what's
and that's
done
what
is
oh, absolutely.
Worse. That's what makes the whole
you
thing
know.
Worse, is because there seems that there might be some kind of a trail that leads elsewhere as far as knowledge, whether it's a small amount of knowledge, what happened at a certain date, making sure that the college keeps their, you know, their esteem high, because we know that a lot of these colleges, all they care about is winning, getting boosters to donate money to their program to make sure that they can continue winning. And that's what a lot of these colleges do. And when you hear a lot of these college presidents, they get these kickback payments and they get all of these millions and millions of dollars, and then they have things, so wings at a college or a room donated to them or a hospital donated in their name. All the bottom line is money. What has to be done in the NCAA is that a lot of these barriers and a lot of these things that have happened need to be raised, burned to the ground, and rebuilt again, because the current system does not work. And just like the judge that sentenced Larry Nassar said, and her name is Rosemarie Aquilina, her exact quote was, and this is, I can't say this any better than she did, "I just signed your death warrant." And that was the quote that she said to him at the sentencing when she gave him his sentence.
Okay.
To know that he will
good.
Never
well,
walk as a free man again.
But do you think that was a little bit too personal from a judge point of view?
No. And the reason why I say that is because she gave him the opportunity to try and show during the sentencing some kind of contrition, guilt, anything that shows that what I did should never have happened, and one, I may need help, but two, I'm also culpable for everything that I did. And the letter that he wrote in the court, one of the quotes was saying, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned," which is one of the most flippantly outrageous statements you can put in a letter about raping young girls or molesting young girls. That is why the judge took it to where she took it from, because he did not seem to show the severity and exactly what he did not seem to
all right,
register.
So, all right, Phil, last question. Do you see this? We don't know for sure, but do you see this as an example of mental illness or mental health of this doctor for what he's been doing throughout all the years? Like, do you see him, like, yes, in the beginning, he molested little girls, but as on and on and on, do you think it became a disease?
Oh, without a doubt, to me, you know, regardless, the moment you do it for the first time, you got something wrong with you. You definitely got something wrong with you to go molesting a six-year-old. You definitely got issues. And it's disgusting,
and
I'm glad the judge did what she did.
Okay, well, let's say the administrator found this out, like, 19 years or so, 19 years ago, and they took action, and they're like, you know what, continue to do this, we will let you go, send you to jail, or got you rehab. Would that be a better way to handle this situation?
I completely fire the guy. I don't care.
Think about it. The process, our thought process is different now compared to 19 years ago. Think about it 19 years ago. I understand the secrecy of everybody being quiet, but, you know, this is like the early 2000s, late 90s. Back then, everything was a taboo. Now, of course, speak up. But think about it 19 years ago. We're old enough to think that long. Do you think they should handle it differently besides being fired? Like, of course, keep it hush-hush, but listen, try to get rehab or you do it again. You get fired?
It can't be done.
It can't. Just because you can fire somebody, but if you're going to leave him free on the street, what's to say he's not going to do it again to somebody else?
As a doctor in a prominent job where your job is to heal, to take care of, to watch over, when you have to earn that person, that patient's trust to be able to examine your body, to make sure certain things are working, anytime you have crossed that line, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a doctor. If you cross that line, you deserve to be fired. And you do deserve to be able to have help if it is needed, especially if it's something where there are people out there that have maybe some sort of mental disorder. There are some people that, as I've stated before, some people just want to watch the world burn. And we've seen plenty of prisons that are populated with really evil people that will do anything to anybody at any time, anywhere. The bottom line is, if you are in a job of importance where you have access to another person, personally, physically, mentally, and you've crossed that line and have molested or raped or done something along those lines, you deserve to be fired and to never be able to work in that field of work again, period.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
I have to go to the next. All right, I have to go to the next topic, but one more question. This is yes or no answer, Sean.
Okay.
Yes or no. If the doctor was black and everything was the same, would he have gotten the death penalty?
I don't think it would have been the death penalty, no. It would be the same thing.
Thank you
got.
So much. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Cleveland Cavaliers. There's been a lot of drama going on in that team lately. They seem they can't get anything right. They've been losing a lot of games overall. And they've been, and of course, LeBron James the other night congratulated himself on Instagram with his 30,000 points, the youngest player. one person called Sean a liar. But I was all thought. But the drama continued with Kevin Love, even though he got drafted, I mean, he got picked in the NBA draft, in the All-Star draft, which I find that weird, but I know why they did that. Sean, what do you think is the problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers right now?
The Cavaliers have gotten older. LeBron James has gotten older. And LeBron James reluctant to play defense, not as intense as he used to, mostly because of the fact that, let's really be honest, he, with those 30,000 points that he scored, he's got a lot of age on those body parts, the knees and the legs, and although he probably isn't as physically unable to take jump shots, et cetera, that we saw when Kobe Bryant started to fall apart toward the last couple of years of his career. LeBron, for the most part, has stayed healthy. But he carried so many teams physically on his back that defensively he doesn't have the same output that he once did. And if you look at the team right now, they're third in the Eastern Conference. They're 27-19. They're only in first place by two games. Pacers are just nipping at them right now. And we heard a complaint or a report that's saying that he was, quote-unquote, pissed that the team was not able to get a trade and get Paul George in to the roster as well. He's looking for extra options. This team has always tried to give LeBron what he's wanted to make that run to the finals. And it, for the most part, it's happened. They did it a few years ago when they got Iman Shumpert and they got J.R. Smith and they got all these players from the Knicks and other players. They needed a three-point shooter. They got Kyle Korver. They needed to get some extra oomph from the team, and it worked. It got them to the finals. They've been in the finals ever since LeBron has been there. I don't think that playing the way that they are, they're going to win anything, because let's really be honest. They've only won four games. Think about this. They've only won four games since Christmas. Four since Christmas. And this team is an NBA Finals finalist? That's insane.
Well,
and every good team – every good team does have a dry spell, but what Sean alluded to, they are getting.
No, but we're talking about the Cavs still. The Cavs, they're supposed not to have a drought like this.
Hey, wait. The Knicks in '94, I think February of that year was their worst month, and they still made it to the finals. And everybody was back then was still complaining, Ewing's getting old and blah, 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 this. So, who knows? They could turn it around at any given time. But as Sean alluded to, they are getting older. They couldn't get – it's like he wanted Paul George, and they didn't orchestrate a trade to get him. Instead, he went to OKC.
And right now he seems to be, quote unquote, happy with OKC, playing with Westbrook. And
But
he got very upset. But he's very upset that he got snubbed in the All-Star. With the All-Star that's happening, what do you guys think about the new format of the captains, Steph Curry and LeBron James, picking the starters?
God, isn't that – don't the fans determine that stuff?
Basically, what they've done is that the two leading vote-getters in each conference are named captains of each conference. So you got Steph Curry and you got LeBron. And they get to draft who they want on the team based on, irregardless of conference, who they want on their team. So LeBron, and the other thing is they would have loved to have had this televised. Now, the reason why it wasn't televised is not necessarily because of saying, well, we didn't want to, and the ratings and blah, 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 because a lot of people wanted it to happen, and the players wanted it to happen. It was the players' union that had an issue with it. And it was reported a little earlier today that was the reason why they was pushed players union as the reason why they didn't televise the draft. And LeBron even went on to Twitter and said, well, it's fun. I wish we could have had it televised because Curry and I had fun picking all these players, et cetera, et cetera. So that's who you got to blame for that one.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that LeBron James picked Durant on his team overall. And Kyle Irving. I'm like, wait a minute, doesn't Kevin Durant, the prima donna that he is right now, have problems with LeBron James?
I don't think he has problems with LeBron. I don't think, Phil, I don't think he has any problems per se with him because this is an exhibition game. This game really doesn't really
exactly
mean anything.
Well, if they're doing a fantasy-style draft, you want to get the best available players that you can get. And Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers in the league. So if that's what LeBron is going by, then I would have no problem with it, you know,
so
if that's what he's going by.
Business.
Exactly. I mean, I play fantasy football. It's no different than playing fantasy football, fantasy hockey. I mean, you have to get the best players that you can to help your team win. I mean, one of my I'll give you one funny one. When it came to fantasy football, one of my brother's friends, big Jet fan just like my brother, the Putts decided to draft every single member of the Jets he can draft for his team.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I mean, when my brother told me that, I'm like, what the? When my brother told me that, what was wrong with him? Rodney, you have no sense of humor. But I digress.
I'm sorry, that was a cheap white man's joke, but let me go on.
Oh, Paul, why got to be old? Sean, you notice it's got to be old racial with this guy. Oh, it's got to be racial with him.
I
just
no
feel
words.
Like it is, but hold on. But I have to go with K-Dog right now. K-Dog? Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, how's it going, guys? All of you? Well, listen, here's what's going on, guys. This is going to be a very interesting All-Star. For the first time, we're not going to see East versus West. It's going to be the best of the best. Now, about LeBron picking Kyrie Irving, I kind of figured it because, you know what? It's you know, even though him and Kyrie Irving had their issues, but you want to pick the very best. And LeBron is no fool. He's going to do what's best for business. Of course, he's going to go with Kyrie Irving. You know, he has Steph Curry, and he has one of the best players of the game, Kevin Durant. It's going to be very interesting to see those guys. How is the chemistry going to be on the court with those three guys playing together? I wonder how it is. I'm waiting to see.
All right, and one more question for you, K-Dog. Lately, there have been a lot of fights, a lot of ejections in the NBA. And like Kevin Durant has been ejected 4 times this season alone compared throughout his whole career, which he got ejected once.
Right.
Do you think there's a lot of problems right now with the fights in the NBA? And, like, I know Phil likes to bring it back to the 90s. Should we bring it back to the 90s where we have better defense? And also, do you think there's a major problem right now with between the refs and the NBA players?
Well, there's always been a problem with the refs and the NBA players. That goes without question. But, however, right now in the games, and I'm sorry I have to go back into the 90s, let's remember the great rivalries that used to go on between the teams, between the Bulls and the Pistons, for example, and the Knicks. The Bulls and the Knicks. I mean, that was competitive. Now it's like, how could I say this? There's egos going on. Everybody's after that crown. Everybody's after who's greater, who's the best player out there. Now, as many of us look at it, you take a good look at the Eastern Conference team. Now, everybody's saying that Cleveland's the best. Well, Cleveland's starting to fall off from what I've been seeing. With the team, let's face it, guys, the team is aging. You know, I mean,
no, absolutely.
Dwayne Wade, great player, but he's not the same Dwayne Wade we saw in 2006. You know, LeBron, that reality is hitting LeBron. You know, you're facing against a powerful, and yes, this is from what I'm seeing, a powerful Western Conference.
Okay.
Where you're facing teams like. Yeah, go ahead.
I have to go to Sean, then I have to go to the last topic. So, Sean, with Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors, lately they've been crying about, you know, all the bad calls that be getting and everything. And they'd be calling someone like Kevin Durant Madonna, because remember he got ejected a few games ago. They're saying that the Golden State Warriors feel like they're a team that they're entitled right now. They're an entitlement team. Do you think that's fair to call the Golden State Warriors overconfident? Or do you think the Golden State Warriors is being overreaction as always?
When you are great or on the precipice of really being great, you sort of expect certain things. We saw that with the Bulls when they were doing all of their winning, and in the process of the steps that they took to win, they got a lot of calls. Same thing with Golden State now. They've won two of the last three championships. If you look at the way that these team is constructed and you look at them now, it's not an overreaction for them to expect to get every call. But we also know that this has been a league where everybody looks at refs for calls, and a lot of times it's either the officials are going to miss a call, or we've seen so many flops and bad acting jobs by these players that we're going to get as many of these calls as possible. I think what a lot of these players need to do is just shut up, play their game, and then let their play speak. Because if you're playing a certain way where you go to the hoop on a regular basis and you try and score and attack the basket, you're going to get the call. But not when you genuflect, you do 15 crossovers, you do a spin move and throw the ball in the air, and then you expect some sort of a foul. That's not the way the game is supposed to work.
Hey, Sean, I hate to cut you off, but I know Rodney's going to start make it racial, but the same thing could be said in the NHL with the diving and everything to try to get the refs to call a penalty.
Yes.
I mean, you have Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby cries about every little call in the league.
Yeah. But as the ownership goes, it's the is one of those calls where if you're always there to make sure that you continue to get those calls, as long as you keep being a fly in the face of something, it's going to finally get that attention. You know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. That's the expression.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, on to the main event topic. Yeah. I am calling this Super Bowl 52 the worst Super Bowl ever for me.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I hate this Super Bowl with a passion. Ladies and gentlemen, and next week, next Sunday, it will be, as everyone should know it by now, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New England Patriots. Two teams that personally hate the most with a passion.
Boo.
Okay, K-Dawg, can I finish before you start booing again? Thank you. Before I get interrupted by K-Dawg again with his hatred, I do see this as a good game. But right now we have Patriots, that's number one in offense. The Eagles, number ninth in offense. In defense, the Patriots are 24th in the ranking, and the Philadelphia Eagles is number four. In special teams, the Patriots are number one, and the Eagles are number eight. So, Sean, is it safe to say that the New England Patriots have a high advantage of winning, repeating the Super Bowl again? Or do you see a major upset? So, because right now you have G-O-A-T, Tom Brady, while I'm choking trying to say that, against the underdog, Nick Foles.
I'm looking at it in this sense. As we have gone in before anybody goes into how good the game is actually going to be ratings-wise, everybody in the United States that is not in Philadelphia and is not in New England probably could care less about these two teams. Now, to get back on the field, I'm looking at a game that could potentially be one of the best games in the last 5 or 6 years. Nick Foles has only really had a couple of years under his belt. We know he started off with the Eagles back in 2013, then kind of was shuffled away with the Chip Kelly era. As far as comparing the quarterbacks, you can't really make that fair of a comparison because we're looking at a team in the Patriots that is, they don't have a one true wideout, the go-to wide receiver. We don't know if Rob Gronkowski is going to play at the tight end position because he sustained a concussion during that game. So we definitely know that much. We also know that looking at the Eagles, that offense is wide open. That run pass option that they've been moving around, the moving the ball with, is absolutely deadly. And with Carson Wentz was healthy, that offense was running really smooth. But Nick Foles is running that offense just as efficiently. So I think that if the Patriots can't stop that offense, they're going to have problems because the Patriots' secondary is so suspect. And if it gets to going down and finding out what's going to happen and you get pressure in Tom Brady's face, which is what we've seen defensively, looking at that pass rush that the Eagles have, the Eagles can actually make a game of this and potentially win this game. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, in overall, what the Eagles need to do is take a book from the Giants playbook and stop the man who's not really human. I call him a robot, Tom Brady. If you stop Tom Brady, the game is yours. Do you agree, Phil?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. I think what gives Philly the advantage, especially if Gronk don't play, is you look at all the wide receivers they have. You have Alshon Jeffrey. You got Torrey Smith. You got Zach Ertz.
He was phenomenal.
You got Nelson.
Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
You got Nelson Aguilar. They have a good team on that receiving corps. But this is the New England Patriots we're talking about. These guys have been caught cheating more than I have. Hold on. Guys, can I cut you short? I'm being interrupted.
Okay.
My mother wants to close.
Mom
said I was making too much noise, so I had to close the door. She had to close my bedroom door.
Yeah, look.
Okay. Ain't gonna happen on the absolute truth.
And you know what, Phil? I agree with that because you know what it is? Let's just remember who shut down the twice in the Super Bowl. Let's remember who did that. And that's why the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have to take a page from our book in order to shut down the Patriots. Because it seems to me that the Patriots' defense always falls asleep during the first three quarters. And by the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, they just wake up.
Yeah, it's called the referees helping them out, too.
Exactly.
I don't care what you tell me.
They only got one call an entire AFC title game. One call against them. Go figure.
You notice that? You notice that during the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, everything comes up.
So I was about to ask, do you think overall, I mean, we all could say Patriots cheat, blah, 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 blah. Do you think overall the NFL, I know the answer to this, is really rigged, especially after that game on Sunday night?
It kind of seems like it because, I don't remember who I was talking to about this. Brady right now is the darling of the NFL. He is Roger Goodell's moneymaker. So he's there. They're going to do everything they can to either help him win or give him what he wants. That's how I see it.
And
he is the moneymaker for that.
And do you find it odd, Sean, that with the NFL ratings, I'm like, the conspiracy theorist people always come up to me with this question, that the people that, the NFL is down, they're going through a lot of drama, they need a facelift. Do you find it odd that how they have, with the patriotism, with the kneeling, for the national anthem, they have the eagle that represent America versus the New England Patriots that represent America. At the same time, they found a way to quote unquote help the New England Patriots back in the Super Bowl.
I think a lot of people are probably grasping at straws, trying to find out why the hated Eagles and the even more hated Patriots are in a Super Bowl again. A lot of people, you see, the interesting thing is when these two teams played each other in Super Bowl 39, the Eagles were liked from the sense that they had some players that you could root for. And this is something that a lot of people will tell you that are fans of a particular team. It's not necessarily the team that makes you not like a team. It's their fans. And if you looked at any of social media from those championship games and saw how New England fans treated Jaguars fans, or if you saw how the Philadelphia fans treated the Minnesota Vikings fans and throwing beer and cursing and left and right and all the insanity that goes on, that's what is tantamount to the attitude that these fans, that these teams get in the public eye. Do I think it's going to be a ratings issue? Only in this sense. If the nation actually cares about Tom Brady winning, hard to believe, a sixth ring, if that's the narrative going in, then there could be a ratings plateau to some degree. Other than that, I think the national interest is either seeing Tom Brady succeed or seeing the Patriots as a team think is the rooting interest going in. But I don't think it has anything to do with a fix.
Okay, what about the fix about the New Orleans Saints against the Minnesota Vikings? The last play of the game, 10 seconds left, and that quote-unquote missed tackle on the field by the Saints player. How he trying to do the spear a little bit too early. You're like, wait a minute. The guy was in the air catching the ball and he decided to go down. Do you find that a little bit fishy with that play? Or was this another miscommunication?
I think it has everything to do with the fact that the NFL has given defenses, have handcuffed defenses so much that, as he stated, even though he's a young guy, he's going to be a star in this league. You cannot allow someone that much cushion going after him because he was afraid he was going to catch a penalty, which is the reason why he said he played off so far. And then when he had the chance to get back to the wide receiver, that's what happened. This is what the problem is.
Okay.
All right, we got 5 minutes left, guys. Start with you, K-Dog. What is your prediction for Super Bowl 52? Who do you think will take it all the way?
Even though I personally don't care about either team, I would rather see the Eagles win it. I'm serious. I'd rather see the Eagles win it. All you got to do is just outplay the Patriots defense-wise. Just stick to the strong defense. Just play ball. Just play the best ball you could ever play. And also, remember, whenever it's an open space, all you have to do is just run the ball, and you could beat the Patriots.
Okay, Phil.
That's what we
got to
say.
Who do you think will take it at Super Bowl 52?
I think it'll be a good game and everything, but for some odd reason, I just think the Patriots are going to win. I think with everything that we've seen this season, I just think they're going to win in a close one.
Kato, can you tell your people in the background to keep it down, please?
Keep it down over there. I'm trying to talk here. Thank you.
And Sean Black?
As much as this pains me to say this, I really believe, based on what I just said, it's going to come down to having too much time in the fourth quarter, and Brady is going to pull out another come-from-behind victory. I have a feeling that the Eagles are going to get up early, the same way that the Jaguars got up early in the game against the Patriots last Sunday. But what I think is going to happen is the game is going to calm down around Brady in the last couple of minutes. The Eagles are going to leave too much time on the clock, and it's going to be a very close game. Patriots are going to pull it out in the end, and I'm looking at 30-26. It's going to be a very close game, and I think that Brady is going to win his sixth ring. That's the regular pick that I say. I actually will be rooting for the Eagles, and I can't believe as a Giants fan I'm saying that. But, yes, that's what the case is going to be. But I think the Patriots are going to end up winning the game.
Well, you know the expression, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Is my friend.
Yes.
As Sean stated, we all hate the Eagles because we are New York Giants fans. And, you know, they're in our division. The only reason why I will root for the Eagles, because they have not won the Super Bowl yet. That's the only reason. I still hate the fans. I have family who are fans. I have friends who are fans of the Eagles. And I can't stand them. I don't never care for the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Redskins. If I have to choose which team I hate the least, would be the Redskins. Because I feel sorry for their name. That's about it. Other than that, as of what I saw last year in Super Bowl 51, when I was talking nonsense and crap for a whole streak, for almost four quarters, laughing all the way, and when I saw Tom Brady did what he did, I almost quit drinking at that night because I could not believe it. At that point, I realized he could do it again. He did it again last Sunday with his comeback. And like Sean said, if you give Tom Brady, the crazy man himself, a minute on the clock, he could score three touchdowns. Can you imagine that in the football world?
And that's what people
don't realize. Do you remember last year during the Super Bowl?
Realize.
You texted me during that Super Bowl. We were texting each other like during the last 10 minutes of the game. And I distinctly remember sending you the text. I said, if the Falcons don't score on that drive that they gave up where they went three and out after the interception, if they don't score on that, I said the Patriots are going to come back and win the game. And I remember
that's
that
exactly
happening.
What happened.
The first text that you sent me afterwards was like, do you believe this? And I was like, that's what it was.
I
was disbelieving.
And then, guys, this happened in the last few seconds of the – this happened in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. All he had to do at that moment was run the ball. I was on, man, just run the ball. And he didn't.
Yes. You cannot be down 28-3. Again.
And not run the ball.
And make a comeback. Well, Phil the Fishman Fisher, K-Dog, Sean Black, thank you so much for this sports edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Will Mo, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod. Till Monday night, we shall do the show again. Good night, everyone.
Yes.
Good night, guys.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Good night, guys.
Oh, by the way, the Mets suck, the Knicks suck, the Giants suck, the Yankees suck, all New York teams suck, but we're still fans of them.
Exactly.
Very optimistic. See you guys on Monday.
Yeah, good night.
Come in.